This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Kale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recap, talking season one, episode 11, Politics of Human Sexuality. I am Josh Wiggler. I'm joined here by Jess Sterling. Jess, how's it going?
Catch knowledge. I'm here.
That's what we're doing here.
It's going to be great.
We're always here to catch some knowledge about the television series known as Community. And this is one in which much knowledge can be gleaned as we are going to the STD fair. Woo! Yeah!
And you will get AIDS unless you go.
So you definitely want to attend. And of course, we are not alone, as is often the case here. We have a very special guest that I'm psyched. I wish I had the Space Jam music queued up and ready to go. Alas, I do not. So you'll just have to play it in your heads and in your hearts as we are bringing in, I believe, the world's foremost Space Jam fan, the co-host of BoJack Horse Pod, among others. It's the great Lindsay Wilson, El Diablo!
Woo, the Space Jam song is always playing in my heart.
So. Everybody get up! Yeah!
Yes.
Welcome, so. Lindsay Wilson.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to play every time I appear anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty great legacy.
When she walks into rooms, that's what plays.
Can you imagine if that was the case? You would get tired of it eventually.
Have you ever asked anybody this question? Like, I feel like I have something in my head where it's like, what is the theme? What is the soundtrack to your life? Like, what is the song that plays when you walk in rooms? And I know what mine is. Lindsay,
yeah,
is yours the Space Jam theme song?
Well, it is now. Tell us what yours is.
Josh, what is yours?
And I want to thank you. Yeah.
Wow.
Dido.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting
every time
choice.
I come in. I didn't choose it. It's just what happened.
Oh, that's just, okay. Yeah. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
Mine is Bad to the Bone.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that I'm over here pretending as if it's not stop right there.
It has to be.
Yeah. That'll follow me forever. Yeah. Lindsay, oh my goodness. For those who don't remember, for those who are not members of the Post Show Recaps Patreon, they wouldn't have heard, but Lindsay, you were on Post Show Recaps Theater not long ago, talking Space Jam with me and Emily Fox. Here we are, just what, like 2 weeks later, back on the pod again. I'm so happy. This is a wonderful, wonderful time in the world today.
It's really wonderful. It's funny. I kind of forgot as we were like doing this whole Space Jam thing that not everyone necessarily knew about this. Probably
no,
very confused.
No, there may be people who are confused. We talked about Space Jam on Post Show Recaps Theater, one of the exclusive podcasts you get for being a patron of Post Show Recaps. We recommend you do it. We recommend you sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps because you could also get Community Building a couple days earlier in your patron podcast feed. You can watch us live as we are recording the podcast as well. But if you just want to chill on that main feed, that's also totally cool. We love you too. And friends, I gotta say, I love this episode of Community. Oh my god, what a great episode of Community. So Lindsay, I'm thrilled to have you here and have you here talking about what I thought was one of my favorites so far.
Yeah, I really love this one. I had a couple of reasons for wanting to do it. I guess the first one is that the way I was introduced to Community was that I was on a plane and they had
was
like
with the Space Jam theme song blaring in the background.
As with
everybody,
everything.
Get up! It's time for Greendale. Yeah.
Ooh, so that's
good.
Not
it works with
that's,
everything.
That's weird for this episode. Just yeah.
Oh,
Jessica. Good heavens.
My.
Yes. Anyway, I was on a plane and they had like the debate episode and the like environmental science episode and this one. And what a way to be introduced. Those are like very, very strong episodes. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was really exciting. So I wanted to cover one of those when Jess was asking if I was interested in any. And also, I am an epidemiologist and my specialization was in HIV.
Okay. So
twofold.
You would have potentially a booth at the STD fair here at Greendale.
I'm always trying to make people catch knowledge.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know what's going to happen as we open the fortune cookie that is this episode and read the fortunes that you have written for us, Jess Sterling. But I guess I would be curious to get your take here on this episode, season one, episode 11. Is this like one of the higher rankings for you, or is this like emblematic of the fact that community is just great? Cause this is like a dime a dozen and it's like a delicious dime.
Yeah.
Dime sort of specifically tasty.
This is definitely we're in the, like when I said 2 weeks ago that we were like in the swing of season one, now this is what I meant. Like these are the episodes I meant where I feel like every character is kind of coming into who they're going to be later on.
Right.
They all have really funny moments. They all kind of get their moment to shine. This is definitely one of those episodes, especially the Dean. I feel like he hasn't been as big of a character earlier on in season one, and we really get to see him shine here. I love this episode. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, you'll see there are repercussions in this episode that will happen down the line, which is why I think it's also a pretty important episode in terms of season one. So yeah, it's great. I love it.
Tell me that means we are going to see a lot more of Doreen.
That's not what I meant.
Oh man.
But Doreen is great. Doreen was
I love
great.
Doreen.
I
She's
love
so
Doreen.
Good.
Are we never going to see her again? Is this it?
I don't think we see her again. Sorry.
I really
mean
like
to break
Doreen.
Your heart.
You know? No, you didn't. It's all right.
Becomes Pierce's eighth wife.
Sharon Sharon Lawrence as Doreen, an Emmy nominated, multiple Emmy nominations for her work in NYPD Blue, which I have not seen. I'm more of a Chicago verse guy. Personally,
Chicago Fire.
I don't know if she made it there. I obviously she didn't. I would recognize her. I would remember.
Of course. How could you not?
You're a big fan.
Yeah, I would forget. This episode's amazing. Every character has a great moment. I was trying to think of like, was there like a big Britta moment for me?
I think Britta and Shirley are kind of a little bit more back burner characters, but I think the moments they do get are very funny.
Yeah, I think certainly for Shirley, like there's just some great line reads from Yvette Nicole Brown that mm-hmm. slayed me as always, as Shirley continues her rampage of being my favorite character. And Britta, I'm going to have to be reminded of some stuff. I'm like, I'm the lowest on Britta this week, but spoiler, that's a three. Like I'm pretty high on everyone this week. I really loved this one. I think I liked it more than the debate episode.
Here's the thing.
I think I did. I think I like this one the most of the ones that I've seen chronologically so far. Is that bad or is that okay?
I think that's perfectly fine. No, I think that to me now it's a game
so far.
It's a game of inches here at the top. I think it's really tough, and I for like a millisecond considered giving this one my first 4 out of 4 quiz.
Whoa.
I considered it.
Yarr.
I didn't, spoiler alert, but I did consider it because it's so good. Like, it's hard to find a bad moment in this episode. If you really, really despise Pierce, I suppose you could point in the direction of like, well, it's a little Pierce heavy, but there's so much else going on that I feel like it's, I don't know. It's, the Pierce stuff didn't bother me as much.
Yeah, it's still my first run piercing. You know, he's fine so far to the point of like I've enjoyed him a lot. And I actually really like him in this episode too. So like it's got like a basically like perfect amount of Chang.
Exactly. Yep.
And just stuffing condoms into his pockets
in bulk.
With no acknowledgement of that at all. I don't know why, but that destroyed me this morning while I was watching it. I really love this one. So Lindsay, is this like a sentimental favorite for you because it's among the first that you ever watched?
Yeah, definitely. I was sort of wondering if everybody else was going to love it as much as I do, if it was just like nostalgia clouding my brain, but I always think so positively of this episode. I love it so much and I'm really happy to hear that everybody else likes it too.
Yeah, big time. All right. Well, I don't know. What are we waiting for? Let's go to the fair.
So Politics of Human Sexuality director is Anthony Russo again.
Yes, one half of the Endgame duo. So
yes. And obviously we have Dan Harmon writing along with Hillary Winston and Liz Kakowski, who, I mean, I've already said my love for Liz Kakowski, aired on December 3rd.
Have you been hiding the fact that Winston the dog was a secret co-writer on Community all this time?
The reason
time?
I love it so much, right? He's just so talented. He doesn't sleep all
day. Did you name Winston based on your fandom for Hillary Winston, Community writer?
Obviously. What other reason would there be? Because Winston is certainly not a normal name at all.
Right.
So we start off on the Greendale campus. Annie is telling the dean that she booked a sketch artist, an improv troupe, and a laser projecting a burning pelvis onto the ceiling.
I'm kind of glad that the wonderful Emily Fox, my wife, is not watching this show with me, because I think she would have been particularly triggered by all of this. This is like the kind of stuff that Annie's booking for this is like what Emily used to do, was like booking talent for corporate events and stuff like that. It's like booking like aerialists for events, booking like all these like troupe performers and stuff. Yeah, this is like a long time ago. This was many, many moons ago. And so like the kinds of things that Annie's talking about in this moment, setting up for the fair, felt particularly real. It was like, oh,
did she ever have to like book guests for an STD awareness fair?
Not that I recall, but she, I'm not going to get into it in terms of the detail, maybe just for the patrons, I'd be willing to. But there's one that does come to mind that is not terribly far afield from this.
What is the wackiest thing that she had projected onto the ceiling?
Let's just say it's a word that some people struggle to say in this episode. May have something to do with it.
I'm sensing bridal shower vibes. That's what I'm getting.
I don't think it was quite like that. I actually think it was for like a relatively serious affair.
Interesting.
More science-minded, but like can't help but laugh because of like what was done as part of that. Anyway, this is what you'll get if you sign up for the Patreon. I'll tell you that story.
Yes, definitely putting that in the box for later.
Yeah, sure. Just remind me, otherwise I'll forget.
Yes,
I'll remind you.
I'll call for Emily. She can come on. She can explain it.
Yes, I can't wait for that. Yeah. So Annie's passing out a flyer, and she says, "Catch knowledge." Troy attempts to throw a crumpled up flyer into a garbage can and he misses, but Abed gets it right in. Troy gets upset and asks Abed if he thinks he's better than him.
Are you better than me?
That's maybe a quote from the show that I use the most. Like, all the time. You think you're better than me?
You think you're better than me?
All the time.
Troy tells Abed to stick to quoting movie lines and Troy will stick to sports. Abed says he's trying to
disengage pop culturally, right?
He's trying to reduce his pop culture referencing.
I feel that pretty hard. Yeah.
I don't know why anybody tries to, though. Like, just if you want to quote The Office and all those shows every day, that's fine by me. I love doing it.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do? It's like, you and me, we're going to play one-on-one right now. Cool. No, it's not cool.
It's not going to be cool.
It won't be.
Annie tries to give Jeff a flyer. He says he isn't interested until he sees a good-looking woman with the STD Awareness Fair t-shirt on. He introduces himself to her. She's Sabrina, the dean's new secretary. Oops, that's degrading to women. Yeah. She does office-y things.
Yeah. What does Britta say? Like, oh, gender saved.
Yeah. Jeff invites her to breakfast. The dean is excited about Greendale catching a case of public health fever.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is that the bathrooms, the women's bathrooms, the toilets are all without seats. They keep getting stolen. So now the dean wants to install hidden cameras in every stall.
Yes.
That's going to solve the situation.
Problem solved. Jeff opens up his fortune cookie and it says, "You will get AIDS." And then when you flip it over, it says, "Unless you go to the STD fair."
Annie wrote that. And this, I mentally wrote in my head, like, okay, so this is going to be a blockbuster Annie episode.
1000%.
This will be a very, very objectively great Annie episode.
Yes. We're now in the study room.
Shouldn't have cracked me up, but like, you will get AIDS, and then like flipping it over, unless you go to the STD fair. Just like, that's like,
Annie's so proud of it too.
She's like sort of like the sharp knife's edge that Community takes. Like, this show is like a little bit dangerous with its comedy.
Yeah.
But like somehow like endearingly so. Like, this was a good example of that, where like, that's not especially funny, except that it's really funny.
Yeah. I also think, like, you're right about Annie in that, like, this is, I'd forgotten how early on she's so active in everything going on in Greendale. Like, from start to finish through the show, she's always one of the most active people in trying to, like, better Greendale and make it a better place to go to school. And I feel like this is just a great example. I actually really love the Dean Annie pairing, and it happens a decent amount. And every time I think it's killer, because they're both crazy enough and on the same like crazy wavelength.
Yeah. Super intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So we're now in the study room. Pierce is asking Jeff if they're friends. Jeff just says,
friends,
okay.
Right? We're friends, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So tragic.
Pierce announces that he has a new girlfriend who's super smart super when he gestures to his chest.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I always know what you mean.
I always know what you mean. Super smart.
Pierce wants Jeff to meet her tonight, but Jeff says, I doubt it.
Yeah.
Abed and Troy enter. Abed says they played basketball and that it's fun.
It wasn't fun.
Yeah, Troy is obviously very bothered by the fact that Abed is winning in every like physical competition, athletic competition they're involved in.
I like how early on they're doing sort of this meta commentary that like Abed's clearly the best. He's clearly the best at everything. Like, it's not even just that he's like the funniest in terms of the pop culture references, and he's just always great for comedy. And there's also a lot that he can be utilized for in terms of like good emotional storytelling. But on top of that, he's also the best athlete. And so like, I feel like that's sort of like cherry on top stuff of like the show, like winking and acknowledging like, yeah, we know Abed's the best. And like, we'll now build a storyline where like, he's like frustratingly the best.
Mm-hmm. I love this exchange about the basketball game where Troy's like, it's impossible to guard you. Your eyes are too gentle and mysterious. And then Abed just like looks tragically up like with his gentle, mysterious eyes.
Now, Lindsay, how would Abed fare against the Monstars?
Oh, geez. I feel he's right up there with Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah. Like, does he need Bill Murray or could he do it on its own?
I think he's better than Bill Murray, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he didn't need to ice his knees after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if he showed up with Michael Jordan, there would be no drama at the end.
Oh, yeah. No.
It would just be
stopping that duo.
The Monsters would be like, oh, Abed's here. All right, fine. We give up.
Forget the whole thing.
Yeah, we give up. Forget it.
Funnily enough, Bill Murray does come up in the conversation around Community. Not this episode. It's not for a while, but there is some interesting crossover there. We'll get to it eventually, though.
Okay, great.
Pierce announces that him and Jeff are going on a double date.
Double date. Fast.
Yes. Yeah. Frida asks what she does, and Pierce says she's an escort. Pierce says she doesn't escort him, though. He met her in his marketing class.
Yeah.
And he's taking her to Annie's STD fair. Very exciting. And Troy immediately is like, taking a call girl to an STD fair. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Starts working on his material.
Jeff is like definitely not interested in going on this double date with Pierce. Pierce says, oh, it's short notice. You probably couldn't get a date anyway. Everyone, ooh. Jeff says he's probably right. Troy's thinking the joke maybe has something to do with crabs. Pierce asks Jeff what was the last date that he scored? Jeff says he isn't Pierce, so he doesn't have a receipt.
Nobody has a reaction.
No one cares.
Yeah, it's like, really? Yeah.
Jeff says he can get a date anytime he wants. And Troy's joke is, don't eat the crab dip. Yay, yay.
Yay, yay.
Yeah. I admire his commitment to this because I feel like often if I'm like, there's a joke in there somewhere, I just like hand wave it. I'm like, yeah, there's a joke here and expect people to laugh at that. And then I just stop.
Yeah, I do this often where like it takes me a minute to like get to like what the obvious low hanging fruit of a joke was.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if I feel like, well, I know it's been that was 30 seconds ago. But it's right there. And then I will go back and I will pluck the joke. And very rarely was it worth doing.
And yet you continue to do it.
But I can't help it, like compulsively.
So this is actually a really popular moment in the show, especially because I believe that Donald Glover like improvised a ton of other options for this joke. I couldn't find them. I know they're out there somewhere. So if anybody remembers them, let me know.
They're somewhere out there.
But yeah, and it's like, it's just one of those things people like, I think on the show too, that the cast really like glommed on to this joke, and they say it a lot going forward. But we're back in the hallway. Annie is hanging up the STD fair banner. The dean is saying STDs are scared because everyone's aware of them.
Yeah.
The dean is super thankful of Annie. Annie says she was voted most likely to succeed at her rehab clinic. Surprising nobody. Mm-hmm. The dean rewards Annie by allowing her
really
to do...
gone deep into that still, right?
Yeah.
The rehab clinic thing?
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of like a character footnote. Like, we know that that's what she was doing before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do have some flashbacks at some point, you'll see. But yeah, it's just like a comp. Like, we know that that's where she was before Greendale.
Cool. Cool.
The dean rewards Annie by allowing her to do the condom demonstration in front of everybody.
Doesn't really want to do this.
No.
Yeah. What a fantastic reward. You get to do the condom demonstration. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when she seems hesitant, I love how the dean's just like, oh, don't worry, it's not a real one, like, as if it might be.
Yes, it's an anatomically correct model. Mm-hmm. Annie is very nervous about this. I mean, understandably so. I feel like even if you were, like, comfortable around, you know, that type of genitalia, that, like, that's, like, awkward to do in front of a group of people.
Yes, yes, you'd think so.
Huge repercussions if you do it wrong also.
Yes.
What is the Jimmy Carter reference?
The dean, he says his dad called it a Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what that's from. Like, if that's is it like the same thing as like a John Hancock is like your signature, a Jimmy Carter is your
I always took it to mean his dad was not a Jimmy Carter supporter. And it was like,
Well, that would work. That would
make sense. This is why we bring Lindsay on, because we need her to explain the jokes to us.
Yeah. I mean, I laughed. I thought it was funny. It's like, okay, call it a Jimmy Carter. Sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon.
That's a good one.
That's even better. That's way better.
Yeah, that is better.
There's a few options.
Anyway,
we don't have to go there. I'm uncomfortable saying it.
Well, especially because his name is Richard. Like, come on now. So we're outdoors
there
now.
There was a low-hanging fruit joke from about 30 to 60 seconds earlier that I'm not taking. But if you go back in time 30 to 60 seconds on your podcast, you can hear it. You'll know. You'll know.
This is called growth, people.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It was the Hancock joke. But anyway.
Well,
Lindsay, you did it.
It's right there.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
One step forward, two steps back, Josh.
I'm glad you did. I don't want people thinking that we didn't know the joke was there.
No, I know. Come on. All right. Anyway.
So Jeff is calling people on his BlackBerry, trying to get a date. The woman asks if he knows her name. He says, of course he does. Jennifer.
That seems like a good guess though, for that kind of age group.
Honestly,
like,
Jennifer, Jessica. Yeah. Any of those would have worked.
Funny. Yeah. Pierce got to you, didn't he?
Yes. Jeff admits he's having a dry spell. Britta starts going through his phone and notices all the women in his phone have awful names like Car Wash Redhead, Tube Top, REM Concert, Juror Number 6.
Juror Number 6 is awesome. What a that's terrifying. That's like Dennis and Always Sunny stuff. Like, this is like serial killer level. Juror Number 6. Like, that's terrifying. That's terrifying.
And Britta is labeled as hot blonde Spanish class.
Mm-hmm, not for long, though.
Complimentary.
Not for long.
At least it's complimentary, right? Yeah. But I guess he probably wouldn't have, like, people
hideous
blonde. Ugly his phone. Which makes me wonder what do we think that the rest of the group is labeled? Well, we see, spoiler alert, we do see what Pierce is labeled as later.
Okay.
I feel like Annie would be, like, annoying overachiever or something like that.
Yeah,
surely overachiever.
Same. I mean, hi, me. Yeah. I feel like surely would be something to do with religion, probably, because that's like a lot of, you know, the caricature of her,
like religious gossip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Abed would be like gentle eyed.
Yeah. I love that.
Gentle eyed enigma.
Gentle eyes. Yes. Yeah. That's so sweet.
Your eyes are so gentle.
I know.
Britta says this is the phone book of a man in his 20s. She calls Jeff shallow. Jeff says, you're right, but he doesn't care about this.
Yeah, it's just like sort of the you're right, go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back in the study room and Annie approaches Britta and Shirley and says she has a problem. The dean wants her to demonstrate the proper use of a condom on a thingamabob.
We do have, again, talking about things that we missed from 30 seconds earlier. The great Styx is in our live chat right now and points out that we totally neglected to talk about Mommy,
yeah.
Who is in.
Oh, yes.
Not his mom.
Jeff's phone. Not my mom. Call Mommy.
It's disgusting.
Terrifying. Again, terrifying. Like, this scene does have like big Dennis Reynolds vibes. It's just like, really, really massively creepy.
So we're back to Shirley, or Annie is afraid to put a condom on a thingamabob.
Yeah,
she's afraid to screw it up.
Yeah.
Shirley asks Britta if she has a banana.
No,
a banana?
She asks a banana.
A banana?
Which was an instant, like, all right, Shirley's getting a 4. Yeah. It doesn't take much to like get me to like give Shirley like a really high score.
You accuse me of like the, like, totally giving Annie like 5s all the time. And
100%.
Yet, now I'm mean to know, now I'm going to have to go back and look at the scores that you've given Shirley versus the scores I've given Annie, just because I'm curious if you are higher on Shirley than I am on Annie.
I am.
No, I can't trust anything you say.
I am so high on Shirley.
Do you have a banana?
It was just destroyed me. Absolutely.
No, I love how high on Shirley you are, Josh, because I feel like she is criminally underrated and I have been loving how much
I love Shirley too. I'm just saying, I just get accused constantly.
It's a good runner, you know?
Of Annie bias.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit.
Yeah.
Good bit. I'll happily take my Shirley bias. I own that 1,000,000%. When she said, do you have a banana?
A banana?
I just died.
Annie asks if bananas look like actual penises. Yeah. And Britta asks Annie if she's ever actually seen one. Shirley tells Annie that being a virgin in this day and age is like being a unicorn.
But she was not. She's not a virgin. She says she had sex with her high school boyfriend with Madonna's Erotica playing.
They're
on the floor of his walk-in closet, but he said don't look at it, and he cried after and during. He's gay now, and I believe Britta says, I'm pretty sure he was gay then.
This is a true story, I think, of Allison Breeze, actually.
Oh, really?
I don't know if the entire thing is true, but I think she did date, like, her high school boyfriend ended up being gay or something like that, so they might have just pulled from that.
Interesting.
But I love her saying she had relations.
With her high school
boyfriend. Yeah. It's so formal.
Yeah, her whole like reminiscing of this story is just like really peak Allison Brie, just like how she can just like, I don't know, like read an anecdote in a way where like she like stops to acknowledge all of like the comedic beats and the twists and turns of the story of like, and he cried after and during. You know, like just like this always like stop start, just like her comic timing is amazing.
Yeah. She wants to practice on the model, but it's locked in the dean's office. So Annie wants to break into the dean's office to practice on it. And Shirley and Britta are like, they're like totally on board instantly, which I love.
Yeah. They're like, I think we can do that. Yeah. I think we're pretty game for that.
Yeah. Shirley's like, I actually have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they broke it into a professor's office once before. So what's the difference, right?
It won't be the first time.
Yeah. So now we're actually at the STD fair. Jeff and Pierce see each other outside. Pierce asks Jeff if he was able to come up with a date. Jeff lies and say he didn't even try. Yeah. Taking a date to an STD fair is lame.
Way lame.
Yeah. And Pierce tells him not to worry because he's going through a dry spell. It could be, I think he says like, oh, it could be years.
Yeah, he says, in my experience, they don't last more than 12 or 13 years.
Yeah. Which worries Jeff, obviously.
Yeah. You know, you get to a certain age and time is kind of, relative, you know, 13 years, becomes like, is like the new, like, 3 months.
Is that true?
I don't know. It's starting to feel that way for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a conversation, but it's like, really? That was 4 years ago. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was like 2 months ago.
I mean, this last year. Especially this last year. Yeah. It's like, how long has it been?
Time is weird. It's a last year.
The dean spills the wheel of remorse and it lands on gonorrhea and he goes, it burns.
He's like, not gonorrhea. Don't let it, like, and then it does. It burns. The wheel of remorse?
Yes.
It's incredible.
Incredible.
Jeff asks Dean what his assistant's likes and dislikes are. Dean tells Jeff that she likes hip hop and horses and she dislikes beards.
Yeah. I like that he's like, is she single? What does she like? And what does she not like? And then she's single. Yes. Likes beards. And then Jeff starts to walk away. Like he doesn't even like bother. To, like,
yeah. Nothing.
Really dislike. Yeah. And I think Dean has the great line. Like, yeah, I was basically done anyway. I was basically finished talking anyway.
So Jeff approaches Sabrina and he says, horses are so majestic. He mentioned shaving while listening to Jay-Z. And then he says, can you ever really own a horse though?
So I'm conflicted about this scene because, and I think it's reflected in my Mammy Beans, spoiler alert, but so like, it's really funny, but also Jeff is so gross. Like, get out of here.
He's so gross.
100% he's so disgusting. Gross. This girl, so like, how old do we think she actually is? And I know I'm a hypocrite, right? I'm all about the Annie and Jeff later on. Oh, early true. Now, I think it's gross. Mm. But this girl seems, it's not just that she's young. It's that she's so like ditzy. Like, I'm doing office-y things.
Yeah. Well, he's just like, let me just like have a list of things I can tick off that like I know will make you into me. Like, our horse yeah. is so majestic. Well,
it's very manipulative. It is, yeah. Again, this is, I keep saying it, but this is like Jeff in his most Dennis that I've seen him. Like, this
yeah, totally.
Like, he's in like full, like the dentist system is in display here.
Yeah. I like that you brought up that comparison because now that you've said it, it's like, oh, that's perfect.
You can't
yeah.
not see it. Like,
can't not see
it's,
it.
It's exactly what he, and like, it's also like a lot of like the Jeff complexes are like what Dennis's complexes are like on Always Sunny. He's like, I'm not old. I'm majestic. I'm beautiful. Like,
I'm
he's
still
like,
handsome.
I'm so very handsome. I'm the most handsome person in the room. And this is much less sinister.
You know? Yes.
Like, this isn't like you think that like Jeff would take her to the car and like on another show, like you could be like really scared that like maybe both of them don't walk out alive.
What like, other shows are you talking about?
There is,
would happen in Always
there is like
Sunny?
That
Always
danger
Sunny?
In Always Sunny. Like they always like ride it up to that line, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. Someone's gonna die?
No, no one's like really gonna die, but like actual danger is very present. Like,
oh,
that's, like
gosh.
That's like the comedic tension of that show is like it's really dark sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time. It's like they are the like If the study group sometimes seems like a bunch of horrible people, they are like the best people. They're like an angel choir next to the gang from Always Sunny. The worst people ever.
So you've never seen any of it, Jess?
Oh.
I've seen like a few episodes, but I've never really, honestly, there's so many seasons that it's, yeah. it's like daunting. So yeah, I've never watched
are.
It.
It's like live action Simpsons, but like
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. Darker. I know Will's a big fan and I watched like a few episodes
it's
with him.
It's a terrific show.
It's
they're
really
horrible
good.
Though and like the actors and the writing, it's so great because like they know how terrible like they lean
yeah.
really
but
hard.
I think that's like very common, especially with sitcoms, right? Like Seinfeld, like all those characters are absolutely awful people.
Yeah.
Like that happens so often in sitcoms because they're just like they're caricatures.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, this is fairly next level though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh.
Several steps up from Seinfeld.
There's like real like you're looking typically in like one of these situations for like a stabilizing force. There's none. They're all trash. Every single last one of them is a trash person. They are trash. Anyway, but Jeff like just kind of like reeks of Dennis in this episode,
yeah.
in this moment too.
Yeah, because he's bragging to Pierce that Sabrina is now his date to the STD yeah. fair. Pierce says she must have a great personality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pierce asks if he's ready for their double date, and Jeff says yes, and then is like baffled at how he got manipulated by Pierce into this.
Yeah.
Pierce approaches Chang, or excuse me, not Pierce,
the dean
approaches Chang to show off the Greendale condoms, which say Greendale all along the side.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Which will come into play later, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff gets a caricature gun of himself in a dune buggy with syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Yeah. Great.
Yes. Pierce approaches Jeff and says they should wingman each other, split up for hoo-ha, and then meet in the morning for eggs and details.
Yeah, and Jeff's like, that's a disgusting combination. Like, eggs and details, when you phrase it that way, that does sound like absolutely nasty.
I'm really enjoying
details.
Like, as we're going through like beat by beat, it's so funny to me how many euphemisms are in this episode.
Yeah.
Just like nothing is explicitly stated. Nothing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The hoo-ha is what gets me. Like, hoo-ha. For hoo-ha. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Relations.
Yeah, relations.
Abed beat Troy in a carnival game and Troy is freaking out. He immediately challenges Abed to arm wrestling. Abed asks if he needs a 10-year-old son in a semi truck. And Troy says the rules are, you suck.
Yeah, you suck. Those are the rules.
Dramatic music plays as they arm wrestle. Abed wins, and Troy groans in slow-mo. He says, you broke my hand, you bastard.
Yeah. Which I have never seen the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie, but I expect that this is like straight out of it, would be my bet.
I think so. Lindsay, do you know? Have you seen any Sylvester Stallone? Me neither.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, I've seen Sly. I've seen some Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
No Arnold, I'll tell you that.
It's just me. Like, I do connect with Troy on this episode. I don't know if that makes me insane, but I would be so frustrated if my friend who, like, his thing is movies, all of this, and like shows, all of a sudden he's like great at everything and I cannot beat him. And I think what's worse is that he doesn't care. That Abed just obviously has no, you know, competitive streak in him. He does not care at all, but I would care. Like, am I crazy, Lindsay?
No, this is definitely relatable. People accuse me all the time of being super competitive, but I'm exactly like Abed, where I'm just like, meh, like none of my, I don't care at all. Like none of myself is built up in whether I win these things.
I'm competitive in like certain arenas, but they're like very hyper specific and like,
This is the thing. Like if someone beats me at Mario Kart, I'm like, oh my God, I have to like rethink all of my life decisions and just go practice forever.
There are a couple of things that I'm like, I feel like deeply competitive about, but they're like, they come up so infrequently. And then like the things that like a game, like I don't really care that much. Like I'm a pretty infuriating person to play like Catan with, or even probably Among Us, because I care less about like winning and more about like the drama and like the moment. So like I wouldn't really like, I would not, I also am just like accustomed to losing, I think.
Interesting.
So I like expect it and almost like lean into it. And like my victories are like the glorious defeats to take that from the genius.
I don't know. I just like, I want to win everything. Like even in things that like, I'm not like necessarily, I don't have any prowess in, like it would still bother me if I lost because I want to be the best.
Sure. The problem for me is like, so for instance, if I was to go to like an exercise class or something and the trainer or the instructor is like really trying to push you by being mean to you, I'm like, no, like this doesn't matter to me. Like I'm not going to be motivated by your the way you're talking to me. It's like very easy for me to give up on things.
Yeah, that I don't think would get into. I was like something like exercise, like no, I'm not very competitive about that. But yeah, I think it's just like, it's very relatable to me that Troy, especially in something like sports that Troy's used to being the best in, to have someone like Abed beating him is driving him nuts.
Yeah.
Relatable content.
Boy,
so we're now in the dean's office. Britta, Shirley, and Annie are breaking in. Britta can't pick the lock on the door, but there's a hole where the door handle would be, which is kind of weird, but let's go with it. That's not, you know, let's suspend our disbelief as to why that there's no door handle there. Shirley peeks through and she goes, "Thar, she blows." Which
so
also
great.
Killed me.
Great line reading.
Britta looks and just giggles. Annie takes a deep breath, looks and says, "Oh boy, oh, I had it wrong." She asks if that's large. Britta and Shirley simultaneously, Britta says yes and Shirley says no. Which is awesome. And then they get caught by security, of course.
Yeah, that was a great moment. Just like the sight gag of them like breaking into the office, like Andy's got like the gloves on, like sort of like the murder gloves on. The whole thing is incredible.
Yeah. Back at the STD fair, Pierce brags about Doreen speaking six languages. He wants Doreen to say Cabernet Sauvignon Danon. Like, again, these are the jokes that I like from Pierce. I don't really care as much about the physical comedy, but like him trying to say Cabernet Sauvignon is like, the funniest thing to me.
So good.
Yeah. Cabernet Sauvignon de Nun.
Jeff asks Doreen about wine, and she says, well, I did have a client who owned a vineyard in Napa. He was into S&M and Merlot, so we called it S&M&M.
Yeah. That sounds like a good candy.
That's what I was thinking of.
S&M&M's.
Like sexy candy.
See, it's if like I hadn't said it now, I would have, in a minute, I would have come back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got to get these things right while they're hot.
You know, sometimes they're right there. You just take them. Mm-hmm. That was there. S&M&M's. I prefer the peanut S&M&M's.
Me too.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Yeah. We don't have to pursue
this. You're saying you like nuts in your S&M&M's.
Oh, God.
I guess that is what was said, technically. Yeah. See, I'm glad you said that now rather than a year from now. You would regret it.
No regrets.
I had to circle back to it.
Yeah. Sabrina says, like, I have to go make tinkles.
Yes. Oh, no.
Why is that so funny? I have to go make tinkles.
It's so great.
So brutal.
It's so good.
Between that and office-y things, like, she is very funny this episode, I have to say, the character who played Sabrina.
Do we see her again?
Mm-mm. Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. Not that I remember.
Goodbye, Sabrina. Yeah, great character.
Pierce leaves to go get more drinks, and Jeff says he's surprised by how smart and classy Doreen is.
Smart and classy you are.
She's classy. They are drinking martinis, by the way.
Yeah, not at a diner.
Not at a diner. Yeah. Doreen says older men just want someone to have a real conversation with. Jeff acts like he isn't older yet, and Doreen instantly calls him out on it.
Yeah. What did she say about Sabrina? Sabrina, she's cute, but she thinks Monty Python is the evil snake from Harry Potter.
Iconic.
I love thinking so about good. Voldemort being like, Monty, to me!
Yes. That was good.
I do a pretty good Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You just have to cover up your nose when you say it like this.
Yeah. Monty, you're my best friend. That's a great line of Voldemort's in the Harry Potter series when he says, you're the only one who understands me, Monty.
That's actually, it is pretty good. You just have to nail down the like awkward hug with somebody.
Yeah, with the snake.
Jeff says he would rather have tinkles than we need to talk.
Sure.
Sabrina returns and asks if she can see Jeff's Lexus, and they leave together.
Can I see your Lexus?
Pierce returns, spilling the drinks everywhere. He asks if lovemaking is on the table. Again, like, I don't, does anybody actually say the word sex in this episode? They do at the end.
Yeah, don't have sex with condoms on.
But it's rare. It's rare. Yeah. There's many, many other words for it in this episode.
Yeah.
Doreen says they're through. She's going to go to the bar. If he wants a lovely evening, it will cost him $200.
Right. And so that's it. That's a wrap, a series wrap on Doreen.
Well, not till the, I mean, I guess we see her once more at the end of the episode. Dean sees couples getting pretty cozy at the fair. He had no idea alcohol would make people horny, as it only makes him sleepy. The security officer says they have a 597 in his office, which he interprets as a dog fighting ring.
Oh, so he misread the code. That's a 598.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His line reading on that kills me too, right? There's a dog fighting ring in my office.
The dean is shocked at the reverse porkies that has happened tonight.
Yeah.
Britta says Annie just wanted to see the pee, and the dean cuts her off. He's brought the school counselor and Monique, who's keeping record, to ensure they discuss sensitive topics in a legally appropriate manner during Monique. An STD fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might add.
Yes.
Gail, the school counselor, makes everyone say penis to take away its negative power, but Annie doesn't say it.
She doesn't want to. And she wants to talk about the woman who doesn't want to say the P word.
Oh, I just love the security guard too. He's like, she didn't say it. And Annie has to stare. Like, how dare you?
Annie likes being repressed and being uncomfortable with her sexuality. Maybe if more people were like her, they wouldn't need this STD
fair.
Which I appreciate, like, Annie just being like totally upfront about it. She's like, listen, I'm uncomfortable with my sexuality. I'm a bit repressed. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yes.
I and Britta, talk about that with you guys.
I think Britta is the one who goes, "You go, girl." I think this is the second time she said that and tried to make it work. Doesn't work.
Annie destroyed me as she's on her way. She's like, "It's a giant thumb in a turtleneck. Whoop-dee-doo."
What, like a strident march over there?
Whoop-dee-doo.
So good. It's a giant thumb in a turtleneck. Whoop-dee-doo.
I love her so much. It's so, she's so ridiculous.
That killed me.
We're back in we're in Jeff's Lexus. Him and Sabrina are kissing. He gets a text, and on the phone you can see it says "crazy old guy." So that's obviously Pierce in his phone.
Yeah.
It says, "What base, wingman?"
Wingman. What base? Yeah.
Sabrina tells Jeff he has a really awesome body. She calls him professor, and he's shocked. She thought he was a professor. He's like, "I am a student."
I'm a student.
Ooh, yes.
Yikers.
Yikers is also another good one. Yeah. Oh my gosh, tinkles. Yikers.
Yeah.
Jeff decides he can't do this and he leaves Sabrina in the car. Right. So growth, you know, a little
he's
bit.
You know, he's moving forward in his life. Keep the car.
Yes. He just tells her to keep it because he can't stand how uncomfortable it is.
Yes. Yes.
We're back on the Greendale campus. Troy and Abed are in a foot race. Troy wins and celebrates very, very loudly.
How do you like those apples?
Yeah, Abed obviously is just pretending to be upset.
Yeah.
Troy's like completely out of breath, and Abed's just like, "Oh no, I'm so upset." Yeah.
This is when it starts to become clear that there is an issue with the condoms.
Yes. Chang says that this might be the only STD fair to spread STDs. Mm-hmm. A condom, they say water balloon fight, but they're putting beer in those water balloons, or the condoms, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They realize the condoms are leaking, and Chang says that's why you don't print things on condoms. I don't understand. Like, did they print on the condoms themselves, not the wrappers? Like, why?
It would appear that they printed on the condoms themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Know, like, good for branding in the moment. I don't know.
But put them on the wrappers.
Yeah.
You're not just going to have, like, open condoms everywhere.
Yeah. Because, like, it's happening. And then you're like, oh, yeah, Greendale.
Okay.
Completely killed the mood.
Yes.
Right.
Everyone's getting preggers and it's the dean's fault. Something about the way Chang says preggers also made me laugh. The dean runs outside.
New scenes. He's great, by the way.
He's great. Yeah. He's great in this episode.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. The dean runs outside and finds Troy and tells him the condoms are faulty and he needs him to run to the office to make an announcement.
He's the best athlete on campus. So he needs him to do that. But Troy's like, I bet. They have like a touching moment here, right? Where they're like,
yes, you know. They're like, "You're a good friend, Troy." And Troy's like, "No, you're a good friend, Abed."
Like,
and
the dean really just long loses
it. The longest pause. Like,
yeah, run, Abed, before, and then Troy, run, Abed, before people sex one another.
It's so funny.
Love it so
like,
much.
We're like focusing on Abed as he's running at us from the camera's perspective, and you don't even like see Troy say it. Run, Abed. Before people sex each other.
So good.
So funny.
Jeff joins Pierce. Pierce asks Jeff for details. Jeff thinks that Greendale is zapping his life force. And Pierce says Jeff is just becoming more mature. A man reaches a point in his life where he stops looking for a place to hang his underwear and starts looking for a place to hang his hat.
True words. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. And this is where we're like, wow, like Pierce didn't say anything racist. He didn't say anything misogynistic. Everything's looking great. And then Pierce says that, Doreen was a special lady. He didn't treat her right. He has stuff to work on. They're both going to get there eventually, Jeff and Pierce together. And then Pierce asked for $200.
Yeah.
So we almost made it.
Yeah.
He was and close. Pierce says, for $220, I could get something else. And Jeff offers him $250 if he doesn't tell him what he's getting.
Yeah. $250.
I can get it twice.
Yeah. So oh, no. Ay,
ay, ay. And we see Jeff rename Britta in his phone, actually as Britta now.
Yeah.
So growth, you know.
Yeah.
Abed does the announcement. If you're going to have sex tonight, don't use condoms.
Yeah, he's like, don't use the condoms. If you're going to have sex tonight, don't use condoms.
Which isn't exactly what the dean wanted to be said, but
the takeaway of the STD fair is
you know, he didn't specify. He said, like, warn them about the condoms, but he didn't, like, tell them what to, like, you know,
what to say.
Yeah. So, that doesn't end up working out so
not great.
No.
And then we have the after credit scene. Abed is reading a science book as a bedtime story to Troy.
I love this one. Yes. I really did. I know it's like a lot quieter compared to some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
This made me so happy to watch.
Adorable.
It's so cute. Yeah. Just Troy like curled up on the couch. Could you get me a glass of water? Yeah.
Can I have a glass of water?
Thank you, Abed.
Yeah, I love how he covers him with his jacket. Yeah. It's so cute. Yeah.
Perfect.
Obviously, streets ahead from me.
Big time.
Like, oh, yeah. You can't not, right?
No, that's a full streets ahead for sure.
100%. Yeah. This episode was so funny.
It's great. It's definitely my favorite one so far of the chronological order, at the very least. It's got great character moments for everybody. Everything's really, really funny. I enjoyed every storyline. It was like a breezy episode of Community. Sometimes there are, like, I've encountered the episodes where it feels longer than the runtime. Like, this one felt like the runtime. Like, every scene was, like, economical. Every scene was really, really funny. It just, like, it never lagged for me at any point. It just, like, it was just going. It was like the foot race. And we were, Abed effortlessly pretending to lose, but secretly capable of winning. It was wonderful. I loved it. Yeah. All right. Should we do some F Community feedback here?
Yes.
Well, we should start with the great Riley, who's joining us live this week with a live comment. He said, I'd be shocked if next episode isn't Josh's favorite so far.
That surprises me a little bit.
I think you'll love it, but I personally, I don't think it'll be your absolute favorite. Okay. That's my guess.
I don't think it's better than this.
Okay. Cool. Did I do enough cools? Cool. Also from Riley, Riley says, in this episode, we see Troy has learned he needs to be a good friend to Abed and not just have Abed be a good friend to him. Troy is slowly losing his jock status, and being a jock is less a part of his character, and this episode handles the transition. Troy's friendships are more of what makes Troy who he is rather than being good at sports. I think this episode is where Troy stops defining himself by being an athlete.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's actually really great to point out, because he's like, he still has that jockiness, but they're making it more like I don't know how to explain it, like a nerdy jockiness. Mm. Like, he cares so much about it, and it's so funny the way he cares
jocular.
About it.
Jocular. Would have regretted not saying it.
I don't know if anyone was expecting that.
I saw it on the tree, and I walked a few paces away. I was like, I'm going back. All right. Eric Divestein. Eric says, I think this is my favorite episode so far. There's so many quick, hilarious jokes delivered in all three plot lines and moments for every main character to shine. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Also, I don't know if anybody can hear it. Winston is dreaming behind me.
Yeah, I actually could. I could
hear him purring a little bit.
What's going on? Winston, this episode put Winston to sleep.
He's so
good thing he doesn't get to do the meow meows. Or the cool's rather. From the wisecrack banana. The wisecrack banana says, great to see the girls on a sneaky break-in mission. Props to Dean's List candidate security guard Kakowski, who is later promoted to becoming an actual police officer. Is that true?
Yes, he'll come back.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Mm-hmm. The woman taking notes in that scene kills me.
Me too.
She is from something that I can't place. I want to say, like, Bridesmaids or something like that. Or, like, Knocked Up, maybe. I think Knocked Up is it. Pretty sure she's, like, maybe Katherine Heigl's assistant. I don't know. I think that might be right. Anyway, from April, this episode is one of my favorite Troy lines that I quote way too often. Don't eat the crab dip. Yay.
It's one of the best
episodes. Yeah.
He throws the notebook the best joke ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Dean, I think, is firing on all cylinders in this episode as well. Like, we really get to see him shine. Oh, it burns.
Yeah. He's so good. He's going to be a very easy Dean's List for me this week.
Yeah. And he's like, you can tell how much he cares. Like, he cares so much about Greendale, and he just wants everybody to love it as much as he does. Yeah. That it's just, I don't know. It's endearing. I love the Dean. It's endearing.
It's endearing. All right. Meow meows. to the meow meow beans.
To the beans.
To the beans. And as I like to do, I just like do them by like the numerical groupings. Mm-hmm. I gave Britta and Chang both a 3. I think I want to, sorry, Jess, I want to bump that to a 3.5.
Okay.
Very slight. 3.5 for each of them. They were both good to the point of being great. And I'm also feeling charitable because I loved this episode so much. And then everybody else is either a 4 or a 4.5. Annie, Troy, and Abed get 4.5 from me. Pierre, Shirley, and Jeff all get 4s. Just everyone was great this week. I don't know. Is Jeff a scumbag? Absolutely. But like, it cracked me up. And as I've said, like, if you're cracking me up, that absolves you of some of this stuff for me. And on this show, like, the comedy wins out. I just thought it was funny. I thought this episode was really, really, really great. And it's because, in no small part, everybody held their weight. Like, everybody was like, mm-hmm. at a level that like I would hope for from a show that gets ballyhooed as one of the great comedies, you know, as one of the great sitcoms. Like, this is like legendary. I would hope that your cast is going to be in this ballpark more often than not. And this was an mm-hmm. episode that very much lived up to that hype. So, 4.5 for Abed, Troy, and Annie. 4s for Jeff, Pierce, and Shirley. 3.5 for Britta and Chang.
Awesome. Go ahead, Lindsay. What do you got?
Yeah, so it looks like I was like more extreme on both ends than both of you. This was like by far the hardest part for me, was trying to do these rankings. But so I had Chang the lowest at 2. I did really like how he was like bulk stealing the condoms, but then the drunker he got, the more he was like, he was frustrating me. I was like, oh, everybody's getting priggers and it's all your fault. And like, which is a funny line, but just his delivery was bugging me. And I'm not somebody who really hates Chang. Like, I don't have that same hatred that I know you do, Jess, but like season 3, I'm fine with him. Anyway. Jeff, I have it at 2.5. He's fine, but he's pretty gross also in this episode. So he sees some progress, but he's mostly a dink is what I have written here.
Mostly a dink?
Mostly a dink.
Yeah, trying to like breathe past it, but yeah, so a little bit of a dink. I have Britta at a 3.5.
The way you're just saying it, like, it's just a natural, effortless
thing.
It's just a thing.
It's a thing to say.
Yeah, just dropping it.
Fair enough. It's totally fair. It's totally fair to just drop that. It's just a ding.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've read it at a 3.5. I think she's funny, like, with all of her hijinks with Shirley, but she doesn't say as many hilarious things as Shirley does.
All right, Pierce, I also... very quickly, hi, ding.
Yeah.
I don't want to regret that.
Thank you. I have Abed at a 3.5 as well. I think mostly because of his like mysterious eye face.
Just don't want to regret that either.
This is my legacy now. Space Jam and Sand Dink.
That's just my legacy now. Space Jam and Sand Dink. Heck of a legacy, to be honest.
Heck of a legacy.
Lindsay.
Someone put that on my tombstone.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Loving Space Jam, Sand Dink.
Yeah.
Yeah. She lived.
What are her interests? Yeah. Space Jam and Sand Dink.
Oh, incredible. I'll take it.
You could be known for worse things.
Yeah, for 100%. Sure.
I can only hope that is my legacy. Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. I have Pierce at a 3.5 as well. I think he's been really strong up to this point. Like, I actually think he's been really funny. Josh, I've been agreeing with you every week when you've been saying, like, yeah, he's actually really funny. Yeah. I especially liked his speech about hanging your underwear instead of your hat or vice versa. Eggs and details, all of that, 3.5. I have Shirley at a 4. I think she's really funny. As you mentioned, she's literally firing on all cylinders every scene that she's in. 4.5 for Annie because of how intense she is. I love her speech about being repressed. I love her face when it's pointed out that she didn't say penis. And then at a full 5, Troy, there is not one line he says that I don't think is hilarious. The gif when he like throws the notebook, there's his "you think you're better than me" has informed all of my sense of humor. Run, Abed, so like everything about it. So yes, anyway, I love Troy. 5 for me.
That's totally fair. Totally fair. Mm-hmm. He's spectacular. This.
Yeah.
So many great lines from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't give anybody a five this episode. It's really hard for me to like give out the full five. I feel like it's hard to be like, I know they improve so much. So yeah. It's hard to like give it out so soon. But at the low, everybody was great this episode. So I don't have many low scores. Lowest for me is a 3.5, which Jeff, Abed, and Chang all got. Jeff, there is some growth here, even though he is very icky. I mean, I feel like this is like, again, tale as old as time. Oh, Jeff grows a little bit every episode, right? I think he grows in a different way this episode. So I gave him a little bit more points than I usually would. Abed is a 3.5. Again, like you said, Lindsay, like I love the, like, your eyes are so gentle and mysterious. Like that's great. Beyond that, I think most of the funny beats come from Troy in the Troy and Abed duo. So I didn't want to give Abed too many points as a result. Chang a 3.5 cracked me up. Like, honestly, the Preggers line cracked me up.
That's good.
Like, he was at his, this is the best type of Chang, in my opinion. Again, I know I only give him a 3.5, not like a 5 out of 5, but like, this is the version of Chang I like to see.
Yeah.
Out of 4, I have a couple people here. I have Britta out of 4. I really loved her. For some reason, her giggling while looking through the door hole really cracked me up. I love her being like the go with gal. Like she's, I kind of like her in a smaller role in this episode. I still thought she was great. Troy is also out of 4. Don't eat the crab dip. Yay, yay is hilarious. Don't let them sex each other. Again, just fantastic.
Yeah.
Pierce, I also gave a 4 to. Again, like I can't deny, like Pierce is at his best when he's trying to help people. Like, yeah, he really does want to hang out with Jeff and be good friends with Jeff. And that's primarily his motive. But you can't deny that part of the reason that Jeff has growth this episode is largely due in part to Pierce, probably more in part due to Doreen. But Pierce is a part of it. And I felt like he deserves to be rewarded. So he's at a 4. Shirley's also at a 4. Darcy blows. Banana. You can't. I mean, banana? It's so good. I gave Annie a 4.5. I didn't give Annie a 5. And maybe she earned it. I feel like, again, there's still this, like, that little bit. Like, she's just not quite full-blown Annie for me yet. So I gave her a 4.5. I love her so much. Like, this is, to me, classic Annie. She wants to help Greendale. She's over the top. She's a bit repressed. I love it.
It was so funny. She was really, really great. Allison Brie's so awesome.
She's amazing. Yeah. So as far as our current character rankings, not too much movement. We still have Abed in first. Only 6 points behind him is Troy now. Annie is only 2.5 points behind Troy. So Shirley's now in fourth over Jeff in fifth. Britta in 6th, Pierce in 7th, and Chang in 8th. But they're all pretty close at this point. Like even having Troy so close to Abed now, that's way closer than we were before.
Yep, for sure. That's interesting to watch. Again, like everybody's still like kind of like in arm's reach of each other, which is great.
Yeah. And that's why you could see like this truly is an ensemble cast. Yeah. Like they're all great. I mean, Chang is obviously lagging behind, but the rest of them are fantastic.
Dean's list for me is a really easy Dean. Like I love Doreen. I actually really love Sabrina. I thought it was really funny too.
Go make tinkles.
Make tinkles was hysterical. But I think, another great, I think 2 weeks in a row for me now, just a really, really excellent Dean episode. He's just hysterical.
Yeah, I completely agree. Cosign. I think the odd burns was enough for me to warrant any point that I was giving out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I also gave it to Dean, but it was hard for me to decide between him and Doreen. I think we should at least like shout out how good she was, because one of the things I really like about her is how much of like how she's not a caricature. She's like, yeah, mostly I just like to talk and am mature, and I'm going to tell you that you're being an idiot, Jeff, being a dink, if you will. Yeah. And I think we should show that. Like, she was so good, and I really liked her. But Dean was so funny, especially as we were going through this. I was like, okay.
I especially love Doreen getting the nearly empty martini glass from Pierce. I thought that just her face and her reaction to it was also very good, really well acted. So.
Yeah, like you can tell it's all over the glass, and she's like, ugh.
Yeah.
On to the episode ratings themselves. Josh, why don't you explain your score?
Sure.
First?
So I've said that this is my favorite episode of the show so far, through, you know, the sequential watch, you know, accepting all of the stuff I watched in the lead up to doing the full watch through. And so my previous was a 3.6 for debate. I'm right. nervous about going much higher than that because there's only so much room to go. So I've put this currently, and then help me talk through it. Like, does this make sense, or do I need to like be more committed than this? I've just put it at 3.61 at the moment.
And we've always both done one digit
I know.
After the decimal. So here's my thing
my thinking on it, just to be like really clear about it, is that, like, I'm nervous about, like, I want to keep some room to like get to the top. I definitely like this more than debate, but I think that they're probably about like equivalent levels in quality. So like the 3.61 is just like a demarcation of like I like this more than debate. I still really like debate quite a bit.
I think you could have I think you could either do a 3.6 and still like it more than debate, or you could do a 3.7 and like it more than debate.
Yeah, but I'm nervous to like go much higher.
But there's nothing saying you have to have only one episode at a specific rating. Like, you can have, and you're going to, right? We're going to watch a lot of episodes.
I'm keeping it. I'm unconvinced.
That's fine.
3.61. A 3.61. I'm giving this a 3.61. It's my favorite one so far. I think it is about the same quality level as debate 109, except I like this one more. I shall acknowledge that with the additional, the 3.61 to the 3.6 that I gave to debate. Okay. It's just like a marginal note that pushes it ever so slightly forward in my personal rankings.
That's fine. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
And then if I like next week a little tiny bit more, then I've got a 3.62. Then if I like the one after that, just a tiny bit more.
I feel like I honestly think this podcast is a long con to see how Josh can make me through as the weeks go on.
And then,
he's going to start adding three digits after it. It's gonna
if
be
I like it a little bit less, it could be a 3.59.
Oh my God. Do you see what's happening right now? This is what he's trying to make me crazy.
I'm driving you bananas?
What if you like one that falls in between this one and debate?
Yes.
It's like if we allow you to go to two digits after the decimal, what's stopping you from going to three digits?
A 3.61.
Where does it end, Wiggler?
Where does it end?
3.605 actually was probably where we would have to go.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, a 3.61. We're making history.
Mm-hmm.
You're making history.
The royal we.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I put this at a 3.8 because I can make solid decisions.
I can. And what do you want? I'm a little bit broken, okay?
I also gave debate a 3.8, or excuse me, debate 109 a 3.8 because I like them both a lot. And I feel like I don't necessarily need to say this one is leaps and bounds, but I think I had a tough time saying, do I give this one a 3.7 or a 3.8? Because I had the same struggles in that. I think debate 109 is maybe slightly better of an episode, but this episode also made me laugh so hard. And I think maybe this is a better, well-rounded episode for all of the characters. So I gave it a 3.8, same score I gave with debate 109. I love it. I think it's great. I still think there's still that 0.2 better out there for episodes. Lindsay, what did you give it?
Yeah, I'm really grateful in this moment that I don't rate these things week to week because you guys take it very seriously.
I take it very seriously.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that I take it that seriously at all.
I mean, you're very concerned about the 0.01 just in case there's like a discrepancy anyway.
I do want to be careful, I guess. I do want to be careful. In that regard, I am taking it very seriously because I know that there's a lot riding on this.
Stakes have never been higher.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 3.7 because I was just like, meh, I haven't rated any before or after. This feels about right.
Great attitude.
I wish I could have that attitude.
I feel like the guest score always is a little bit of a stabilizer. It's like, everyone relax.
Yeah, no, Jess, when I do my Simpsons rankings, my tiers are like really good, pretty good, meh, and bad. And it's like about as much detail as I go into.
Meanwhile, I have an entire spreadsheet dedicated to this. So that brings, our audience gave it a 3.37, slightly lower than us, which brings our average to a 3.63, plants it firmly in second place behind Debate 109, which had a 3.7.
Not surprised that like consensus is that Debate is higher.
But it's not like a drastic consensus.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not.
I am a little surprised by the 3.37. That feels a little low.
Yeah, well, we had some people who didn't care for it as much, so that kind of drags
down. It's a high variance show, you know. Yeah. That is what I'm learning, and yeah. I appreciate that quality.
Yeah. We had a low of a 2.75 and a high of a 3.8. So, mm-hmm. get your ratings in, community at postshowrecaps.com. You could always send in your backlog as well if you'd like. I did get a couple of those emails. Love those.
Okay, so next week apparently will be my new favorite episode, allegedly.
According to Riley, not according to Lindsay. Yeah, I mean Lindsay, yeah.
So what are we in store for? What's the episode? Who's coming on?
We are talking season one, episode 12, Comparative Religion. This is the first Christmas episode.
Oh.
So we didn't get to watch it in the what is it, community zero?
Season zero.
Never will remember that. Literally never going to stick in my brain.
Season zero.
We didn't get to watch it. I made you watch the other two Christmas episodes instead. So we're going to go back. We're going to watch this one and
go back.
We are bringing on somebody who's been on community building before. He requested this episode. He's very prolific in the world of post show recaps. Your friend and mine, Mr. Kevin Mahadeo.
Oh, your friend.
Yes, my friend.
Not mine.
Not yours.
Just kidding. Love Kevin. all right, great. Kevin wanted to talk about the Christmas episode. Cool. Kevin loves Christmas.
I love Christmas too.
Yeah.
Christmas is great.
Yeah, Christmas is great. Okay, great. Kevin coming onto the podcast. That's going to be fun. Can't wait. You got to get your feedback in. April 23rd is the due date. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you are part of the Post Show Recaps patron program, you will be able to watch live or listen early. So sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps and help support all the incredible shows that we're doing on here, not just community building, but also Kevin and I have the podcast Everything is Super that I'm currently sitting out on as Kevin is forging forward with LaTanya Starks and Mike Bloom covering Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Mike Bloom is covering the Bloom Files with Angela Bloom. They're talking X-Files. We've got some Star Wars podcasting that you'll be able to listen to. The new episode coming next week. We got Final Fantasy podcast. We got Down the Hatch. We just finished season four, or I think the season four finale is yet to be released by the time that you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it right away, but it's recorded and it was great and you're going to love it. So sign up for the Patreon, support all those shows. We'd appreciate it. Lindsay, what an absolute blast to have you on here after Space Jam, now talking this. What else are you talking about in your podcast world? So much.
Yeah. No, this is truly a dream. Thank you so much for having me on. What else am I doing? Lots of stuff this week. So on The Simpsons Then and Now, we just recorded a Brant Steel with the great Mike Bloom. So I know lots of people in the Post Show Recaps Patreon group. They are all big fans. So check that out if you're interested. We are recording BoJack Horseman episodes over on BoJack Horsepod with the great Kirsten McInnes. We just had Chappelle on, and that episode is very, very fun, obviously. I was just on Twitch Ultimate Trivia over on Rob Has a Website, and that was very stressful, but very fun. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's about it. And then this. So, yeah, this was really fun. Thank you.
Of course. Jess Sterling, you know what I'm going to ask.
What's the shit, Jess?
Yeah. What the shit?
What the dink?
Yeah,
So we are recording a podcast tomorrow. It won't be out yet if you're listening to this after the fact, but we are covering we're mixing two of my favorite topics, astrology and Boy Meets World. And I'm very excited about it because we're basically going to do like a scratch the surface of what astrology is and then assign different Boy Meets World characters into different astrological signs. So if that sparks anybody's interest, please just give it a listen. It's going to be so much fun. I am a quintessential Leo. Both my co-hosts are Pisces. So I don't know what I was thinking because it's just quite the combination as we've seen.
Just like here.
There you go. So give that a listen if you're interested. Shit 90s Pod on Twitter, Instagram, all of those social media platforms.
Lindsay, is your favorite actor Peter Dinklage?
Were you waiting on that joke?
I do love the dink.
For about a full minute.
He's like, please shut up so I can say this.
You're just sitting very seriously. I was like, got this joke. Gotta tell it.
It was about a minute ago. I wanted to ask that. Anyway, that's it. That's community building. We'll be back next week with Kevin. Until then, Corey B, take it away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow, a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.